Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this
and
Constitution,
so, my fellow Americans,
the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do.
This nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
It's Friday night. It's our favorite night. It's the Friday Night Roundtable. Lisa's here with me tonight. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm good. Hot enough out there for you?
Just a little. I thought it was going to... I don't think so. I think we're in it for the long haul.
We're in it for a while, it looks like. That ridge is just not going to break down. We got a little rain this week, but it wasn't anything to speak of. Okay, folks, it's Missouri Grassroots Radio Network. This is the Friday Night Roundtable. Lisa and I are here with you tonight. We're going to count us down to the primary and some initiatives that are on the ballot. We're going to talk about those. We're going to talk about what this primary means to the grassroots movement. I think this primary is a kind of a test for us, Lisa, as a movement.
Well, I'm kind of holding my breath, Dave. It's a little nerve-wracking. I'll be glad when it's over.
Yeah.
You know, I hope grassroots does a little bit better than anticipated.
Oh, and then anticipated? You don't think that the general anticipation is that the grassroots will do okay?
Well, you know, it's just awfully quiet. You know, there's just not a lot of hubbub. I think that, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more rallying and support of some of the candidates. I know that there's a core grassroots that's definitely behind some of the candidates, but didn't seem to spread far and wide into the community. I hope that people are just kind of laying low out there and are just planning to go to the polls and vote.
Yeah, I am. I feel the other way. I mean, I feel really optimistic. I think the atmosphere is such that we're going to do fairly well. I base that a lot on the things that have happened, you know, since the midterm election, the Wisconsin thing, the primaries we've had so far, the primary in Texas just last Tuesday night. I think things are going well. And when I talk to candidates who are actually doing any kind of polling out there, I think the sentiment out in the street where us common people live is going to pretty much swing our way.
Well, you know, that's what I'm hoping for too. One thing that I found encouraging, and it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with maybe the political climate, but you know, the rally and the support that the folks came out for Chick-fil-A across the country. Missouri was no different. I think the Missourians were out in force, too, to support Chick-fil-A. And, you know, while they may have been, you know, the average Missourian, not just the grassroots person, but the average Missourian has been kind of quiet and not really out there involved in the primary, but they were very much involved in supporting the Chick-fil-A issue. So that shows me, I'm hoping, that they're paying attention to what's going on. You know, while they may not be out there with boots on the ground, that they – when the time comes, they're going to get out and they're going to go vote.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I can't...
There.
Yeah. I agree. And that shows a level of activism. I wouldn't go so far, I think, as to say that Chick-fil-A plays into the patriot hands because, you know, the establishment was out there involved in that, too. That's just... In fact, a ton of the establishment Republicans just took advantage of the whole Chick-fil-A thing.
Yeah, I would agree. But it just, I guess the only gauge that it really shows me is that there's a passion out there for the issues and the people are paying attention. And while they may not be out there actively boots on the ground working for candidates, they are actively watching the news, paying attention to what's going on, and hopefully when push comes to shove, they'll act and they'll get out and vote.
Yeah, I'm with you there, and I think, you know, and that is going to be, I guess that is going to be the decider, is how much of the vote actually gets out. And again, I think that plays in our favor because our people are activists. You know, it's the passive voter who's going to stay home, and it is the passive voter who is part of the establishment. The passive voter is not on our side to start with.
I don't know if I completely agree with that. I think that there are a lot of people out there who agree with the grassroots movement, but maybe have not completely physically engaged. I think there are a lot more people out there like that every day. Maybe they're leaving the establishment and coming over to the grassroots side of thinking, but I'm not quite sure I agree with that one, Dave.
Well, okay. That's, you know, I'm establishment Republican, right? And
yeah, right.
And unpatriotic. Well, I've been told that at least 20 times today because I've been told that at least 20 times today by people who think that supporting Romney is a evil thing, and that if you're going to vote for Romney, you're the devil incarnate, and you're a staff. I'm a party hack. That's what I am.
Did you walk through a crowd of Ron Paul people today?
Oh, it's not just Ron Paul people. There's still some Santorum people out there who are pretty irritated that their guy didn't make it. And in fact, it's the Santorum people that have actually joined hands with the Ron Paul people. Go figure on that one. And are trying to manipulate this convention to something other than what the people voted for.
Holding every last hope. Well, I'll tell you are going to have to sedate me to Romney. I'm going to vote for the guy, but it's not going to be easy.
Oh no, I'm with you. And I keep trying to tell people that. Every time somebody calls me a party hack or an establishment, I say, yeah, I'm not any happier with Mitt Romney than you are, and most of the grassroots movement isn't. But. All in the same, it really is about beating Obama at this point, and even more so, and this is what Missouri Grassroots Coalition has been about from the start, the down ticket. It's about replacing Claire McCaskill and replacing Billy Long, replacing Jay Nixon, replacing
Attorney General Coster.
Coster's a good replaceable person. And Robin
Carnahan.
Aunt Robin, yeah. And then several people in the Missouri legislature who need to go. Kevin Engler comes to mind right away. I'm going to tell you what. I think you and I talked about this maybe on the phone once. I think Jay Nixon's biggest obstacle is going to be that Claire McCaskill is going to take a whooping. I think that Nixon is going to have a hard time overcoming the crowd that's going to turn out to unemploy Claire McCaskill.
Well, okay. I mean, that's my hope. I think, you know, the election is going to be very telling. It really depends on who wins the Republican primary, I think, on that one, whether or not Jay Nixon's going to ride that wave of, Republican or Democratic disdain out of the governor's mansion. I'm not so sure that that's a slam dunk. I would like to really believe that, but I'm a little nervous about that one.
Did you see the Kansas City Star endorsements today?
No, I did not.
Kansas City Star endorsed Spence over Randles.
Not surprised.
Endorsed Adam Warren over
Ed Martin. No,
yep.
Kidding.
That didn't surprise me. Well, I mean, it did surprise me, in fact, because their other endorsements were so bad. And I'm going to vote for Adam, but I really, In fact, they said that Martin was. They called Martin. While I'm talking, I'm going to go ahead and see if I can find this. I found it was on Adam Warren's page actually. But I said the other night when I was talking about this, I replayed a taped interview with Adam that you had done, and I said at that time that I don't think that we're going to get poorly served by either one of these guys. Ed Martin's going to win. He is the establishment guy, and he's got all the backing. I think Adam Warren is sharp, and there's a future for him. I hope that the fact that Ed Martin is going to win doesn't mean Adam is going to drop out, because and I think we would be. I'm going to go ahead and vote for Adam, but it's not going to set me back. When Adam doesn't win, because I think we'll be well served by either one of these guys. That's a tough call. But here's what they did. They took Spence. Listen to what the Kansas City Star now. Tell me this newspaper does not have an agenda. Spence from the St. Louis area recently stepped down as chief executive of Alpha Packaging, a Missouri company with more than 800 employees. He has made some campaign gaffes, and questions linger about his tenure on the board of a bank that opted not to repay a federal loan that was part of the TARP. And that's okay with the Kansas City Star. They endorse him anyway. But he understands that Missouri lags behind the rest of the nation in many important measures, including funding for colleges and universities.
Oh, that's why. Let's pour more money into education.
We don't pay enough money to colleges and universities. And he is flexible enough to note that while he wants to see income taxes reduced over the long term, the state budget can't absorb more losses at the moment. Spence is challenged by Bill Randles, a Kansas City lawyer who is prone to extreme positions. Wait a minute! You haven't heard the most extreme positions here yet, such as calling for elimination of the state income tax.
Oh, he's a fair tax guy. Oh my gosh!
And a move to the statewide school voucher system.
Oh, what would happen to the unions?
What in the world? So yeah, Spence gets a nod from the Kansas City Star, who it really doesn't make a crap, you know, because, I mean, when the general comes around, the Kansas City Star is going to endorse the Democrat.
Right.
So, you know.
And they've probably already done that by endorsing the people they're endorsing today, so.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the point. It's strategy.
They picked Kinder.
Okay.
Interesting. And, let's see. They picked Stouffer.
Stouffer?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. Stouffer is our choice over Shane Scholer of Willard and Scott Rupp of Wentzville. They don't say what is wrong with Shane or Scott. They do say, though, that Bill Stouffer has impressed them with his efforts to find a funding source to improve Interstate 70.
Okay. I wasn't aware of that, but okay, that's good.
And then about Ed Martin, they say this. Adam Lee Warren is a young lawyer who has worked as city attorney for Chillicothe and prosecutor for Livingston County and is a JAG officer in the Missouri National Guard. He appears to have potential. His opponent in the primary, Ed Martin, is a disaster. Was a disaster when he was former Governor Matt Blunt's chief of staff.
Now it comes out, of course.
The winner,
okay.
Yeah, the winner will take on the powerful incumbent, Chris Koster.
Yes.
So so there you go. That's the Kansas City Star, and I know for a fact that their endorsement carries a lot of weight. You know, speaking of endorsements, I don't know if you were tuned in last night or not. I think you had something to do, but I had originally scheduled that last night and Monday on the Hour of Truth, I was going to review all the interviews we'd done and all the races we'd been following for the last 2.5 months. And I was actually going to, give my nods to the people. And, you know, then I'm sitting there all day yesterday studying up for this and And I'm running across this, you know, this person is endorsed by Sarah Palin, that person is endorsed by Rush Limbaugh, and I'm thinking every time I see those things, I think, what the hell do I care what who Sarah Palin wants to be senator, or who Rush Limbaugh wants to be senator, or for this matter right here, who the Kansas City Star wants. And then I thought, how arrogant of me then that I'm going to get on the air for an hour and a half and tell people who to vote for. So I changed the whole, I scrapped it all, and right at the last minute, it was kind of a halfway lousy show because I put it all together in about 45 minutes. But I scrapped my whole agenda and said, I'm just not going to go there. You know, we've taken the time, we've done these interviews, we've exposed these candidates to the people. And when I say exposed, I don't mean that in a bad way, either that we dug up any dirt on them or that we had them pull their pants down. But
they can do that on their own.
That's right. Both of those things. But, you know, I mean, we gave the candidates time to meet the people. We gave the people the time to meet the candidates. We got really in-depth with the candidates. We got down to their souls. And so now, what? Who the hell am I to sit here after all that and tell people who to vote for?
Well, I think people value your opinion. We've offered a great service, I think, to the grassroots community and beyond. And, you know, anybody who bothers to take the time to do their own vetting, I think getting that kind of information and opinions is, you know, just one more good source for them to add to their column of information, and I see no problem with that whatsoever. You always ask your friends who they're going to vote for, don't you, Dave?
I do, but it's always out of curiosity. It's never that anything's going to change my mind. Sometimes it does. I mean, sometimes I ask my friends because I haven't got my mind made up and I want to hear what different people have to say about things.
Yeah, somebody can offer a new perspective or a new point of view on something that maybe you hadn't been a privy to in the past. So, I think it would have been great.
So,
tonight, Dave, I'm listening.
Huh?
If you want to do that tonight, I'm listening to you.
Well, I think you and I agree on this governor thing. We're Bill Randall's people. I'm Bill Randall's because of the things that the Kansas City Star doesn't like about him. Dave Spence will not commit. Well, in fact, I won't say that he won't commit to a fair tax. He is not in favor of the fair tax. He thinks it's a bad thing. The thing I don't like about Spence, and this issue is going to resonate for me as a dislike all the way through the general election, through all the different offices that we're going to talk about, and that is a man who's got a plan to use my money to quote unquote create jobs. You know, that is the buzzword of this election, isn't it? Everybody's going to create jobs.
Right. No, government does not create jobs. And as good conservatives, we all need to understand that government needs to get out of the way. So using those buzzwords are not something that we want to go with when we pick a candidate.
That's absolutely right. And when they do say they're going to create jobs, I mean, you know, you could get on a podium, I guess, and say Bill Randall's is going to create jobs. But that would be a misnomer because Bill Randall's is going to cut down on the regulation. I mean, you know, to the maximum extent that an executive can. He's not a legislator. Cut down on the regulation. He's going to back the fair tax. He's going to back a right to work. He's going to back the things that will bring business into Missouri. And that's how you create jobs, is by getting the hell out of the way and letting the jobs come here.
You know, I think it's kind of interesting when you talk about how an executive can approach, you know, getting things done. You know, it's what you said is so true, and I think it's going to be so telling. Let's go into fantasy land here, and let's just kind of imagine something. Let's imagine Bill Randall's gets elected to governor.
Okay.
Okay. And we get, you know, let's also imagine we maintain a Republican legislature.
Okay.
You know, House and Senate. So, you know, Bill Randall's has a campaign across the state that he's going to do this and he's going to do that. And he's got a plan. I mean, I've heard more specifics and of plans from him than I've heard from any other candidate. And the Kansas City Star is right. He has come out every time I've seen him campaign and given more specifics about his plan for what he wants to do. I don't agree with everything that Bill Randall says, but he has been very specific and very detailed in his campaigning, which is more than I can say for the other candidates. So, let's say he's elected. Now, there has been much debate over the past many months about the Republican House and Senate and how it may not always be acting in the best interests of the people, and how they may, you know, and how there's little difference between Republicans and Democrats anymore.
Right.
So what do you think the climate in Jefferson City would be like if we actually had someone in the executive office who wanted to push things through? And then all of a sudden, we've got a bunch of Republicans who, by their own history, have been pretty unsuccessful in getting things done, especially in the last two legislative sessions. What do you think a world like that looks like?
Gridlock.
And the Republicans are the legislature would be pushing that. How do you think the people would react to something like that?
You know, I think I think that Bill Randall's just from the little contact I've had with him, and it's not as extensive as the contact you've had with him, so you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think Bill Randall's would be as good as Ronald Reagan about taking each and every case, each and every problem he had with a legislator, straight to a press conference for the people of the state of Missouri and say, okay, here it is. Here's what I want to do. Here's what's in my way. Now help me out.
Yeah, kind of tattletaling on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy, yeah, that makes people angry.
That's exactly the way Ronald Reagan handled it, you know. I mean, he took his case straight to the people.
So really, basically, I mean, it just popped the popcorn and watched the stuff fly.
Exactly, watch the show.
It'd just be a show after that,
it'd
be an entertaining show on top of it.
Yeah, and I think the man or woman who gets that done is going to be governor for a good long while, because 2 years after you do this thing and business starts coming to Missouri and everybody's better off, I think then whether or not the fair tax was a good idea, whether or not right to work was a good idea, are all moot points, because everybody's feeling good and everybody's feeling better, and now the person who made those specific campaign promises is a hero.
Right. Well, you'd see the shuffling of all of the campaigning legislators getting behind it real quick during campaign season, you know, during the following campaign season.
Right.
But, you know, in the meantime, it'd be a comedy show.
It would. But now, you know, back to my own optimism here, I've got a feeling that, you know, when we say that the last legislature was anything but conservative, that it's hard to tell the difference between the Democrats and the Republicans, you're oh so right. But then when we look at the dynamic there, there really were only five or six really strong members, and all they were doing was bullying everybody else. I'm not excusing the wimps who went up there with the promise of conservative government and then got bullied around by the Englers and the Tillies. I'm not excusing that at all. But what I am saying is that if along with Bill Randall's, we put some Robinsons and some Varners and some Emerys in there, some strong people who not only won't be bullied, but will be a voice for the conservatives, a strong voice who will stand up and actually take the bullies on. I think that combination with a Bill Randall's and things just move, you know, like grapes through a goose.
Well, you know, oh, I'd love to see it. I'd absolutely love to see it. I just think it'd be comical because, you know, I mean, okay, let's look at Prop E coming up on the November ballot, okay, and how that came to be. I mean, you know,
right.
my belief, will be that that was never an accident, that the idea that that ballot language never got, you know, should have never gotten to Robin Carnahan, and if they're trying to tell you that it was an accident or oversight, I will never believe that to my dying day.
Well, I don't either. Now, I don't know that it was as intentional as what you thought. We were talking the other night with who's the last guest I had? Secretary of State. I'm going to vote for him, and I can't remember his name. What? Shane. We had Shane on the other night, and I asked him that. You know, I mean, he was in the legislature last year, and I brought up all this stuff, and I said, tell us what went on there. How did this happen? And he basically said, you know, that this is a thing that came up in the last half of the session because the governor was trying to do this. This became a necessary thing only because the governor was trying to exceed his power base, exceed his authority to do this. And so before we went on recess, we had to get something together. And he said, we just flat ass didn't have time to do it, is what he said.
I don't believe it. I'm just not believing it. They have been talking about insurance exchanges for all of this session and at least part of last session, and I don't think it was as big a surprise as they're trying to make it out to be.
Well, now don't get me wrong. I know they were talking about insurance exchanges, but it really only was there toward the end. Remember during the budget process when the governor twice tried to sneak in a federal grant, calling it a computer upgrade, quote unquote, when really the federal grant was targeted toward establishing these exchanges. It's only when that occurred that someone said, okay, we can't possibly think about going home until we do something that that doesn't do anything about exchanges, but keeps the governor from tromping on our turf.
Okay. Remember, when did the House pass unanimously HB 609?
Oh, in February or early in the session.
Okay. They were talking about making sure that the governor did not have the authority to unilaterally put insurance exchanges in at that time.
Right.
They knew what was going on. I don't believe it.
Oh, no.
I mean,
you may well be right. I'm just telling you what Shane told me. I'm not saying I agree with him or disagree with him or agree or disagree with you. I was just telling you what Shane told me, and you may well be right.
Well,
I mean, I'd
like to think I'm always right, Dave, but...
Well, I'm pretty sure you are. except on constitutional convention. And,
oh.
I'm
right on those two.
And maybe the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution, but yeah, we're gonna have you and I, we're gonna have a Friday night roundtable on that Second Amendment thing.
We will live to debate that one for sure.
We will. So there we go. Let's go ahead and talk then about there we go. We've talked about Bill Randles. Let's talk about the Lieutenant Governor. Man, this thing between Logger and Kinder is getting nasty, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Guacamole. I don't think I've seen, at the state level, I don't think I've seen anything this nasty since maybe Mel Carnahan ran against John Ashcroft.
I don't really actually remember that one, but...
I do, yeah. Well, actually, it was Mel Carnahan was running against John Ashcroft. It was a big, nasty, nasty debate, or nasty campaign. I mean, the name calling was flying from both sides, and everything was really dirty. And remember, Mel got killed in a plane crash.
I remember that.
And his wife took the slot, and beat Ashcroft. The big joke was that Ashcroft had been beat by a dead man. And then Ashcroft, of course, got the consolation prize of being picked for Attorney General by Daddy Bush.
Yep, I remember that. I was on the school board at the time when all that happened.
That was a very, very nasty campaign. And that might be the last one that's been as nasty as this Lieutenant Governor campaign is. But I'm telling you, I haven't seen – this is almost – hey, listen, people, we haven't said this yet, so we're going to say it right now. 347-677-1835, 347-677-1835. Okay, let's hear you talk about the Lieutenant Governors for a while. I've had my say.
Oh, well, you know, I've been trying to stay out of that one. you're right. I mean, it's a mess. You know, I don't think it's quite as contentious as the Ashcroft-Carnahan race. What bothers me about it is that it's been between Republicans and not, you know, it's not a Republican-Democrat race.
Right there.
So, I mean, I would guess that, you know, if you factor that into it, then yes, it's pretty contentious, and I don't like to see that, you know, because one of those guys is going to win, and as soon as they do, the Democratic Party is going to take the primary campaign fodder and use it in their own campaign. So it's never a good idea to do that.
And I tell you what, as a libertarian, nonpartisan kind of guy, I hope they do. I hope to hell they do, because the Democrats can't win. And I think it would be great if a Constitution candidate finally won something in this state. And you know what you're talking about may make that happen.
I think that it's time, you know, the Tea Party and the grassroots movement, I think, is pretty much all about either reforming the Republican Party and making it, you know, bringing it back to conservative roots and dismantling the corruption that it's all become, or dismantling the two-party system and bringing other parties into it. So, you know, while I would not advocate voting for a third-party candidate on the presidential side right now, I think local elections are great places for third-party candidates to thrive.
I agree.
And I think this would be a great time to see some third-party candidates. I think that it would be a grassroots victory to see third-party candidates win some elections.
I do, too, yeah. And I can't think of a better candidate to do it than Cynthia.
Yeah, she's a spitfire.
She is, and she is Tea Party conservative, too.
Yeah, you know, Cynthia, people kind of pick on Cynthia. You know, she's spent 8 years in the House, and I think she rubbed some people the wrong way there for various reasons, you know. I mean, she's a woman with strong opinions that's always kind of tough for people to take sometimes, I think. And, you know, she didn't make a lot of friends there, but I'll tell you, she does have a very, very conservative voting record, and that is something you just cannot argue with.
Right.
So, if you take the personalities out of it, it's kind of hard to argue with her voting record.
She's kind of goofy, though. We were up for consent of the governed in January, the first day of the legislative session. And you and I will have to go to that together this year.
I'll meet you there.
Yeah, coming up and go up there and get some. Pamphlets and get some membership movement in Missouri grassroots and go stomping the halls and shaking hands with the new legislators. But anyway, we were up there for that last year, and it was the day Cynthia announced. And oh my God, it was hilarious. We were up there on the third floor rotunda, and Cynthia starts singing. She's got some song that she made up that she was singing to the tune of 50 ways to leave your lover, and it was like 50 ways to vote constitutionally, and she'd made up these lyrics that kind of sort of rhymed, and it was just and I'm thinking wow, this is a trip.
Yeah, but you know, it wouldn't be dull, you know, office, always excitement going on, so I mean,
absolutely,
for that alone, it'd be worth it.
Absolutely. Now the Democrats have a pretty crowded field. for lieutenant governor. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 people running in the Democratic primary for lieutenant governor. And I haven't been keeping up with the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. I'm sure they've done their endorsements already with the thing being Tuesday, or they may do them on Sunday. But the Star is going with Susan Monti. Sarah Lampy's in there. Bill Haas is in there. Who else is good in there? Kathy McGee, or Jackie McGee. It's another pretty powerful woman in that batch, too. Judy Baker. Judy Baker's in that list. So they're gonna have a knockdown drag out over there. And you know, and I don't see, unlike the Lager Kinder childishness, I don't see that going on over there between these Democrats. You would never even guess there were more than one Democrat going in the primary from what we're seeing on TV down in this part of the state. How about up there?
Well, you know what? The Democratic primary, from what in my neighborhood, it just isn't getting any.
Yeah.
You know, I have.
Well, and that may be it too. I mean, I'm down here in the Southwest Missouri, where I can't think of any way that a Democrat could find their way to Jefferson City from down here. So that may be it. I mean, maybe they're just spending all their money in Kansas City. To bash each other in the Democratic primary, because they're certainly going to be wasting their money down here on this end of the state.
Right. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I would wait till after the primary and
see what happens then. So anyway, we have a Libertarian, of course, Matt Koppel, and I agree with you. I think Cynthia's got a shot. I'm listening around and I'm hearing what people are saying, and I really think that could be it. So Secretary of State, Robin's got to go. Robin's not even running, so Robin knows Robin's got to go, I guess. Tell me now, because I don't know the answer to this question. Are there term limits for those offices?
I don't know the answer to that either. We should know that.
We should. And I don't. So I'm going to look it up when we go on break here in a minute. And I've got the Constitution sitting right here beside me, so it'll be easy enough for me to find. If one of you listeners out there knows the answer to that, call us in at 347-677-1835, 347-677-1835. So she's not running. So our choices for that Secretary of State position are Shane and
Rupp.
Yeah, Rupp and there's three. Shane, Rupp, and who did I just say the Kansas City Star endorsed? It wasn't Shane Scholer. It was
I can't remember his name now. Oh God, this is so bad.
No, you know, it's all just starting to run together for me. We've been going at this nonstop since 2.5 months ago, you and me. And
you'd think one of us would have the Secretary of State page up on our computer right now.
Well, you know, I'm trying, but my computer's awfully slow. I'm at the Secretary of State, and I was there, and I'm stuck on this Lieutenant Governor's page, and my little hourglass is just sitting there spinning and spinning, and I'm guessing that probably there's 900,000 other people in the state of Missouri trying to do this same thing. So I've changed my strategy, and I'm actually going to go to my county and look for a sample ballot that would give us the same.
Now, I found it entirely too difficult to get sample ballots off the internet. I haven't had I'm not the best internet whiz.
Yeah.
So, but I have found it really, really difficult. And you're right, the SOS webpage is dead.
Yeah. I imagine it's just being used up tonight. I imagine every radio show in town and every person or anything else is going to
Schaff? Schneider? What's his name?
off. Official election ballot 2009. 2012 state primary sample ballot. Okay, Republican. Here we go. I've got a sample ballot up now. Well, crud, though. It's just for the county races. I've looked at them all. I just don't remember the guy's name, and I am going
Sean?
With...
Is it Scharnhorst?
No, that's not right either.
Okay. There. So let's move on.
But I'm going with Scholar anyway, so it what the other guy's name is doesn't really matter to me. For federal, state, for governor, lieutenant governor, secretary of state.
Let's move on.
Attorney General, you're going with Ed Martin.
Probably going to go with Ed, yep.
Yeah. And I'm going to stick with Adam, just because flashing me back to consent of the governed rally, I was sitting there and fairly new to. We had just formed Missouri Grassroots Coalition. We were just coming off the Herman Cain. And so I was just now getting into any kind of a circle with people who called themselves conservative Republicans. I had always run with libertarian kinds of people. And I'm sitting there listening to Ed Martin give a speech, and I'm already thinking this is an old school establishment Republican.
I would totally disagree with you there.
Well, yeah, and you might be right. Ed Martin refused to come on my show and talk to me, so I don't have anything to go with aside from at all on Ed Martin except for that speech that I heard. Bill Stoffer is the name we were trying to think of.
We got everything but.
Yeah. So anyway, I though go back to what I said the other night, and that is. I don't have a problem with either one of them. I think either one of them would be okay, would do us well, and certainly couldn't do any worse than what we've got. What district are you in?
For which?
For state rep.
You know what? I'm not entirely sure. I've been trying to find out for the past week or so, and that's another complaint that I have. Okay. It's really very difficult. And you know that all of the representatives have very good detailed maps, but you can't get maps off of the web page about where your districts are.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you get redistricted?
I did, and I'm kind of on a line, I think.
Right.
So I think that's why it's so difficult for me to find out where things fall. I think I live like probably literally feet from the border.
Right.
So and it's kind of one of those gerrymandering deals where, you know, kind of zigzags in and out. So I think I'm going to kind of find out on election day who I'm voting for. I've done my homework, and I know who all the candidates are. And, if I have to make a choice between this one or that one, I can do that. But I'm not exactly sure
right.
Which one I'm making choices between.
Well, I'm still in Eric Burleson's district, and he is unopposed. Your friend Melissa Leach is also unopposed.
Melissa Leach is up for the Luck and Smith Award this year.
She is, yep.
Yes, she is.
That's great.
With three St. Louis representatives and one representative that I'm not familiar with.
So we've got Carnahan. Not Carnahan. We've got three people running for... the hope of beating out Claire McCaskill. And I'll tell you what, I am really, really, really torn on that one. There is that, whichever way I go there, that's going to be a Romney vote for me.
Yeah, I know exactly where I'm going on that one.
Yeah. you're going to Todd Akin.
I'm not sure if I'm going to say. Yeah, I think I'm going for Todd Akin.
Yeah, I Steelman's out. It's between Bruner and Akin for me, and I have enough distaste for both of them that whichever that I'm still undecided, and whichever way I go, it is going to be absolutely the same kind of vote that I give Mitt Romney in October. It's not going to be as hard for me to go with either one of them in November as it's going to be to go with Mitt Romney. I am going to go with Mitt Romney, but it's going to be very difficult. And it's not going to be that difficult because neither of these guys is that bad. But, excuse me. And then, do you have a, let's see, who's your rep to Washington, D.C.?
Luca Meyer is unopposed.
Opposed? Yeah. We've got quite a race going down here for the rep in Washington, D.C. It's Billy Long, Mike Moon, and Stilson. Stilson's not even going to get 15 votes, so it really is Billy Long or Mike Moon. And
fill me in a little bit on the Billy Long issue, because I'm up here in St. Louis, and we don't get that story up here as much as you guys do down there. Now, with my understanding that Billy Long was pretty much a Tea Party sweetheart when he got in.
He was. Now, Billy Long has zero... You know, he went in as, and this is what we have to be careful of. This is the story I always tell when I hear that people settled on somebody for no other reason than he's not a career politician. Billy Long had zero experience, had never run for politics, no city government, no county government, no school boards, no anything. He was an auctioneer and a real estate broker here in Springfield, Missouri, and a friend of mine. I know Billy from some years back. And my family knew Billy. And I voted for Billy, and he went in there. He was all fed up with Washington spending. He was all fed up with the bureaucracy. He was all fed up with the socialism. He was fed up. That was his campaign slogan. I'm Billy Long and I'm fed up. And then he got up there into Washington, D.C., and you know, this is another one of the things that Shane and I talked about the other night, and I said, Shane, I said, what the hell happens? I mean, you know, you get a guy like Billy Long, a friend of mine, a friend of Shane's too. Shane and I stomped the same woods down here in Southwest Missouri, I said, what happens to a guy like that when he gets up there? I mean, did he not mean it to start with? Or is it just, is the corruption so thick up there that a guy with no political experience is just overwhelmed? But one or the other happened, and Billy Long got up there, and he has come down for Patriot Act. He has come down for the debt ceiling increase. He has come, I mean, he has come down for everything that we don't stand for. The Patriot Act extension, NDAA, debt ceiling increase, and he is the most absentee representative in the United States House of Representatives.
Well, you know, that's my understanding, because I was very confused about that, because everything that I had heard about that name, and I wasn't completely tuned into it very closely, but everything that I had heard about that name was that, you know, Billy Long was a Tea Party sweetheart down there, and then all of a sudden he's persona non grata.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get him out. And Mike Moon is the guy.
Yeah. I went on behalf of Missouri Grassroots Coalition to make a introduction of us to Mike Moon the day he announced. I met him down on the courthouse steps here in Greene County, he and I had a talk, and I was pretty well interested right away. I was interested, A, because Billy had to go. And I look at a race like Billy Long is what I've been saying here, Lisa. I look at a race like Billy Long as that one where the Tea Party has got to say, and again, I for the listeners, I use the word Tea Party kind of generically to mean the grassroots movement, to, you know, you folks out there in the property rights groups and the fair tax groups that are listening to us. I'm not trying to denigrate you when I say Tea Party. When I say that, it's like Xerox means all copying machines. This is where the patriots got to do it. They've got to stand up and say, okay, guys like Billy Long, and I keep using Billy Long because he's the example that I have in my head all the time. Okay, people like Billy Long, you know, we sent you up there. Billy Long was the name floundered around the state, you know, when as part of this big freshman class that had just shocked and awed Washington, D.C. 2 years ago when we swept into the House of Representatives with all these Tea Party people. And it's time for us to say, you know, we told you when we sent you up there what we wanted you to do, and you haven't carried the water, and so it's time for you to come home, and we'll put somebody up. So I was already in that mindset when I went to meet Mike Moon, and since then he and I have talked several times. I've talked to several people that are working closely with him, and I'm more convinced than ever. He and I had a 90-minute talk the other night on the radio, and I'm more convinced than ever that he is the guy. Yeah, for us anyway.
Well, I would be interested in getting to know what his platform is. I mean, have you heard any polling data? How he's doing down there with his campaign?
He's doing very, very well. It's going to be. I think it's too late for Long. I think Long came in here, and you know he's got. Of course, once you get up there, you've got all the money of the House caucus behind you, and the House of Representatives is already padding your war chest. But I think he came down here a little bit cocky and a little bit overconfident, and a little bit. Out of touch with what's happening on the street as far as the grassroots swell goes. And I think Long's in real trouble. I think I believe Long's going to lose. I believe Mike Moon is the man.
Very good. It'll be interesting Tuesday night. We'll find out.
It will be. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to be brokenhearted if we don't win a solid majority of the races that we are tracking here with interest as grassroots races. I'm going to be really, really brokenhearted if we don't win a solid majority of those races. I feel that it's going to happen. I think the sentiment and the talk out there leads me to believe that it absolutely is going to happen. And so let's talk just one quick minute then about this disastrous constitutional amendment that's coming up on Tuesday. I want to get in one last pitch, one last plea to people to vote no on this thing. It's going to pass. It's going to pass by 60 or 70%, maybe more than 70%. But I'm not doing my part unless I make one more plea for people to vote no. You're going to vote no, aren't you?
Absolutely. There's no reason for this thing to be happening. I can't even imagine why it's happening in the first place. You know, and it was not well thought out. And unless it was just a ploy to get conservatives to the polls, I cannot even understand why it's on the ballot.
Not a point to conservatives to polls, and I know why it's happening, and the reason why it's happening is the part of it that's getting hidden from you. The reason why it's happening is because the Christian right wants to make a move, you know, those things that you're not reading on the ballot, that give establishment rights to the state, and that give unheard of rights to students. I believe that's the agenda, and I believe the fact that that's the agenda is reinforced in my mind by the way they hid that from the voters with the ballot language.
Well, don't you think that's going to I think it's going to backfire on them. I think the way the language is worded, it's going to make it harder for them and easier for other religions to push their weight around.
I absolutely do. I don't think it's going to make it any harder for them, but I think it's certainly going to open up a bucket of worms. And I think, yeah, I agree with you. Before you and I are in the grave, me a long time before you, then we are going to see lawsuits by Christians now trying to say, well, that's not what we meant.
Yeah, I think so. I think they're going to live to regret, you know, supporting that because it was not well thought out. And, you know, and, you know, at the risk of really ticking everybody off, Christians are if Christians don't feel that their Christianity is being respected enough in the culture as it is, it's their own fault. Because these kinds of challenges that are going on today against Christianity have been going on for a long time, and they're still going on today, and you're not hearing an outcry when these things happen, and Christians are running to the legislature to fix the problem instead of taking care of it in their own neighborhoods. Yeah, you know, sitting in on these trials, protesting, bringing their own Christian community together stronger in their own churches,
and you know
having
what?
A strong voice.
I was having this, and this has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with Christianity. I was having this talk with my dad, the Baptist preacher here, a couple of weeks ago. But if Christians want to know why they're being persecuted, all you got to do is walk around a city like Springfield. I don't know what it's like out there where you're at, Lisa, but if you walk around a city like Springfield and High Street Baptist Church isn't on High Street anymore, and Cherry Street Baptist Church is still called Cherry Street Baptist Church, but it's not on Cherry Street anymore, and I could read you off a list of 15 or 16 churches that have packed up, abandoned the inner city, and moved to the suburbs where the money and the fancy houses are. And so here you, the church has completely deserted the inner city. And if you're listening to me in Springfield, Missouri, I want to say that there are some strong churches that have stayed downtown. But the biggest churches have abandoned the inner city and moved out to the suburbs. And now they're whining that people don't like them anymore.
Well, sorry.
Exactly. And that heralds right back to what you said the other night. You know, and if the Christians want, to assume their rightful place in the social fabric of this country, then they better get busy and get back to their own roots and realize that that's not done legislatively. It's done. It's done door to door. It's done person to person. It's done soul to soul. And good Lord, you can't legislate somebody into heaven.
Right.
So that's getting pretty close to wrapping it up. Let's just review what you've got coming up next week. Oh, look, next week is the week. You'll be, by the time you come back, Lisa, it'll be all over.
And it's a party. We're going to be so glad that it's done.
Speaking of parties, though, Tuesday night we're going to postpone for 1 week the Show Me Common Sense Hour, which is well because Vaughn's not feeling well anyway, so it was probably going to be a do-over show. But it worked out fine because Tuesday night, folks, we're very excited about this. The show will move to 8 o'clock. And Lisa and I, at least, and we're looking forward to maybe Mike Smith coming along and maybe a couple of other people. We're going to do a watch night and kind of an analysis and results. And from 8 to 10, all the results should be in by 10. We should at least know the big races. We'll be watching the results. We'll be reporting them to you. We'll be talking to you about how your feelings are about what's going on. We'll be talking to some candidates at their own watch parties. And I think Lisa's going to be coming to us live from a watch party. Mike may or may not be. So it's really going to be a fun night. It's going to be the first time we've tried anything like this, and so you might just listen for the entertainment value of hearing Lisa and I trip over ourselves once in a while. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, and it's going to be something that we and you and us together, we've been sitting in on this. We've been watching this. We've been kind of looking at this for 2.5 or 3 months now. Nightly, And now it's all coming to a head, and it's going to be kind of fun to get together on Tuesday night and watch it happen. I mean, we're not NBC or ABC or CBS or even Fox or even Arts and Entertainment for that matter, although we're fairly artsy and fairly entertaining, Lisa.
I would agree.
But we're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to have a couple of TVs set up here in my office, and we're going to be following results, and we're going to be dealing with you folks and dealing with some candidates and dealing with some analysis. So we're excited about that. Monday and Thursday, I come along with the Hour of Truth. I haven't exactly decided where we're going to go when this is over. I am not, folks, going to spend a lot of time now interviewing candidates after next Tuesday night. We do have Kinder on Monday. Am I right, Lisa?
Yes, we do. Yes.
I've got to get a hold of him or his people and set the specifics on that. But Lisa has been great through this whole primary thing, folks. I mean, I could not have made it without her. I'm an outsider here. You all know that. You've all heard me. I'm not a household name for these politicians the way Lisa Payne Nager is. And so I'm not the kind of guy that just gets to pick up the phone and call Bill Randles and say, hey, how about you and me rapping for 90 minutes? But Lisa has really saved my butt on this thing and brought you folks some really good discussions with some really good candidates. So thank you, Lisa.
Well, you're welcome. Glad to be of help.
Then Wednesdays is Lisa and the Culture Vigilante, and tell us all about the Culture Vigilante, Lisa.
Well, I'm not exactly sure what the next Culture Vigilante will bring. I'm sure we'll do some wrap-up on the election, and we're going to talk a little bit about Locke and Smith and the legislative review process they've got going there, and the rest is a surprise to all of us, including me.
I knew you didn't have your lineup set yet for after the election. We're all just kind of in after-election euphoria for a week or two probably, but what I really wanted, because we've got new listeners every night, we're fast growing here, we've got new listeners every night, so I just kind of wanted you to give them a recap about what the Culture Vigilante is.
Well, we kind of look at things from the cultural side of the government and how the government sways the culture and how the grassroots movement can actually be part of bringing that back to the culture they want it to be, the culture of conservative values and conservative politics.
Good, and it's a really good show. I've got this softball commitment that I, and this may be the last year for this softball for me, Lisa. I'm telling you, I swear to Pete, they make those fields bigger every year.
Well, I'm not a softball player. I wouldn't know, but you know, I do kind of understand how that works from year to year.
But I've got this commitment on Wednesday, so I frequently am not here to listen to Lisa live, but I catch her podcast without fail as soon as I get home from the softball game on Wednesday, if I didn't get to listen to it live. And it is really a great show. You folks, if you don't do anything else, be sure and catch the Wednesday night show with Lisa. She has great guests. She's not long and drawn out and boring like I am. She has short 10 and 15 minute segments, and it really is great. She covers a lot of topics in a 1 hour show, and it's all really good stuff. Her Yankee Doodle legislation review, her Patriot Spotlight review is just fantastic. And listen, if you're out there and you have a group, I'm sorry, Lisa, I may be stepping out of bounds here. If you're out there,
you
have a group, get a hold of Lisa at you can use info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and say, hey, I'd like to be spotlighted on your show. And I mean, as long as you're not the Ku Klux Klan or something, if you really are a patriot group, Lisa would love to talk to you about your group and what you do and maybe give you a little plug and maybe give you a little push. Am I wrong or am I right?
No, that's absolutely the plan. I mean, we here at Missouri Grassroots are all about promoting the grassroots at every level. So we want to make sure that everybody will know about your group so that you can grow your group, and then we can all join together as one large coalition to make a strong and powerful voice in Jefferson City.
And if you want to know how that works, go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and read our mission statement, read all about us. We are here to facilitate getting groups together. We don't govern anyone. Your group stays autonomous. If you're a single issue group, you stay dead on your issue. But we do ask you, all we do ask you to do is be available as part of the coalition to help your brother and sister groups when things come up, to lend your voice to the larger support. And in return for that, we give you a boost with your voice. One more thing I want to cover before we go. Of course, there's always next Friday night's roundtable. Something exciting and cool and good will come up. And one night, and maybe next week, since Lisa and I will be looking for a break from politics for a while, Lisa and I are going to debate the Second Amendment and Missouri Article 1, Section 23. You're going to be surprised where I stand on that if you haven't been listening, and it isn't bad. It isn't bad. I'm not going to say that we need to take your gun away from you. So don't start writing me nasty letters already. Wait and hear what we have to say. But one more thing I want to plug before we go, Lisa, and then we'll call it a night, is the Secret Santa. Let's talk about that.
Okay. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and look for the Secret Santa page. Last year, Missouri Grassroots Coalition paid off the layaway accounts on Christmas Eve, no less, of a couple of families that couldn't afford to get the toys out of layaway for their kids on Christmas Eve. So they went, paid those off. The store notified the families, and a couple of families had a truly magical Christmas. There's some kids out there who still believe in Santa Claus, and their dreams still came true on Christmas morning. So we're looking to do that again this year. We have a page set up on MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. You can pay by PayPal, check, or money order. We're collecting a little money for that now because we don't want to hit you up at Christmas time when we know you're all strapped for cash. So please contribute to that and help us help some families celebrate Christmas.
Great. Yeah, please do that. Conservative people are, I'm telling you, go Google it if you want. If you don't believe me, go Google it. It's out there. It's documented. Conservative people are the most giving and caring people in the country. There's no limit, if you Google this, to the amount of research you can find that says that the most charitable people, that there is a direct correlation between conservative, a level of conservatism and a level of charitability. Okay, Lisa, that's it. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio. Good night, Lisa.
Good night, Dave. Talk to you next week.
I've had fun. Thanks.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.